You know, these past events of this past week, a lot of tragedy has taken place. The horrendous school shootings and all the murders and all the deaths, the abortions, everything that's happened this past week has just been a horrible, horrible situation. And I know that a lot of us come in here this morning with cares and burdens on our soul, wondering, is God really real? Does God really care? What about my problems? The old saying goes, and I've said it several times, and I'll continue to say it, is this, that there's a broken heart in every pew. And if we were all honest this morning, we could raise our hands and say, Brother Brian, there's been times in my life that I really wonder if God even exists. Does God really care about me? How could God really know what I'm going through when there's billions and billions of people on this earth? How can God know? And why would He care about me? Let me start out by saying this. And I told this to a young teenager this past Wednesday. She's struggling with some things. And I said, listen, God doesn't make junk. We are all fearfully and wonderfully created by God Himself. God knew everything about us even before we were formed in our mother's womb. And when God made you and God made me and God made everybody, He did not say, oops, I messed up that one. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So are you. We all have our quirks. We all have our tendencies to this and our tendencies to that. We're all sinners. We all need salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. But you know what, folks? God loves you. He always has and He always will. He doesn't make mistakes. And He has provided a way for us to have eternal life. Not on our own effort. Because think about it for just a second. If we had to earn salvation, earn eternal life through our own efforts, how would we know when we had done enough? How would we know when we finally outweighed our sins with some gigantic scale up in heaven? Is there an angel up there with little pieces of gold that every time we do something good, they throw it into a little pan? And every time we do something bad, they throw it into a little pan over here. How do we know when it's finally outweighed the other? How do we finally know that when eternity comes and it's time for us to die, how do we know that we've got this side fuller than this side? We don't. It's impossible to know that. The great thing is we don't have to worry about doing it ourselves. Jesus has already bought our salvation by His precious blood. And so this morning, I want to give you encouragement. As I sat here in my office studying and thinking and praying, my heart continued to go to those families in Florida and in Colorado from Columbine, 1999. It's so hard to believe it was that long ago. And up in the Sandy Hook and all these families of the tragedies of all the things. The people who have died from opioid overdoses and heroin now in our community, alcohol-related things, all of those situations, and my heart goes out to them. And I wondered, what in the world can I say to a hurting community? If I was given an opportunity to share with a gigantic audience, what would I share? And God said, don't worry about gigantic audience. You just worry about who you're going to see Sunday morning. See, you're not here by accident today. You didn't just show up today. You didn't just come in those back doors of your own happenstance. God had you come here today to worship Him and for His word to be given to you today. So what I want to do today is I want to take Psalm 23 and I want to take Romans chapter number 8 and I want to put them together today. You say, now wait a minute. How in the world can you do that? Psalm 23 was written by David, and Romans chapter 8 was written by Paul. How in the world? See, God wrote it all. And I think God intends us to understand that Scripture always interprets Scripture and goes together. And so as I sat there studying and thinking for the book of Acts, God said, no, go a different direction. And so I want us to look at Psalm 23, and then we're going to marry Romans chapter 1, or chapter number 8, into that together. Now, I'm not going to complete this morning. It's impossible. There's too much in here I want to give to you. So I will finish this evening. And so that gives you a caveat. That gives you a reason to be back tonight. Amen? Oh, come on now. Because I know I won't see some of you tonight, you stubborn Baptists. And you say, well, I don't want to miss the Olympics. Well, tape it. It's okay. But Psalm 23 this morning. So find Psalm 23 and then find Romans chapter number 8. Get you a pen, get you a piece of paper, write down these verses along so you can study them. But I want us to look at Psalm 23 and how it fits in with Romans chapter number 8 today. I'm going to read the whole Psalm 23 and then we'll go back to verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that Your Word is from You. It's exactly what we need in the English language. I thank You, Father, that You have preserved it. You have now allowed us to translate it. But God, more importantly, the Holy Spirit who lives within us teaches it to us. Please use this humble piece of clay, broken piece of clay, to formulate words, but more importantly, to speak Your Word correctly. I know there are hurting hearts in this very room at this very moment. Tragedy is taking place in all parts of the world, but also in our community. Give me the strength, but more importantly, God, You take Your words and speak to our hearts and bring comfort where it's so desperately needed. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Psalm 23, verse number 1. David writes, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, the great thing about that saying is that God is a personal God. He's not an impersonal entity up in the sky who says, well, you're on your own. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. He belongs to me, and I belong to Him. Now, it's easy to say that all people are God's children. That is a false assumption. Not everybody is God's child. We're all God's creation, but not every single person is God's child. John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, for as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. In order for a person to be God's child, you must have Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, David is writing this, and he knew who God was. He had a personal relationship with God, even though David messed up. How many of you know about David's mess-ups in the Bible? We'll read about those. And we can sit here and quote them. And we can say, he did this, and he didn't do that, and he did this, and he didn't do that. But it's amazing that it says in the New Testament that David was a man after God's own heart. And you're thinking, now wait a minute. David messed up. David committed some serious sins. Matter of fact, he broke most of the commandments. How in the world could God love him and say that he was a man after God's own heart? The same reason that He loves our sorry souls. Amen? I don't know of a single person in this room that hasn't broken at least one commandment. And I'm hoping that there's nobody in this room that's broken all 10 this week. I'm hoping that hadn't happened. But we've all done it. And the Bible says, if you've broken one, you're guilty of them all. So just because we've been created by God doesn't mean we're God's children. We're His creation, but not His children. And so David, who is writing Psalm 23, he realizes that he needs a shepherd. He needs someone to care for him. He needs someone to take care of him. David is not saying, I am my shepherd. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. In other words, David acknowledges that he can't do it himself. I remember John Lewis as a little kid. Oh my goodness, he was stubborn. How many of you have ever had a stubborn child? Stubborn. And we would try to help him. And he says, no, I do it. Here, let me help you with this wrapper. No, I do it. And just as a frustration, and watching him trying to open it, and he couldn't open it. No, I do it. And you're wanting to help him so bad, and he doesn't. It's a fight back and forth, and you're wrestling back and forth, and it's just a mess. And here's this little two-year-old looking at your face saying, no, I do it. Knowing full well he can't do it. That's how we get with God. A situation comes, good or bad, and we say, God, I do it. And God says, my child, I love you so much. Let me do it. And we say, no, I'll do it. Okay. Have at it. And by the time we get that popsicle opened up, it's all melted. And it's everywhere. And then we look up and God said, why didn't you do it? It's amazing how our country has taken God out of everything. Our government, our schools, our churches, our families. We've taken God out of everything. And we've put ourselves in His place. And then tragedy takes place. And then we say, it's your fault! And God says, no, I'm here. But you've not acknowledged me. You've not acknowledged me. David says, God, you are my shepherd. Now, a shepherd is in charge of sheep. How many of you know that sheep are dumb? Sheep are not the most brilliant animals. Now, turkey is probably dumber. Because when I talked to a couple turkey farmers, and they've said that when it rains, turkeys go like this. And they end up drowning. And you think, that's stupid. Well, sheep are just as bad. Sheep can't take care of themselves. Sheep, they just wander off into the wilderness. And sheep are dumb. So why would David say that God is my shepherd? David's admitting that he can't do it himself. He needs a shepherd. Do you? Do you need a shepherd? Now, I'm not just talking about once a week on a Sunday morning from 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock. I need a shepherd 24/7, 365, 366 on leap years. I need a shepherd, someone who's going to be on watch, somebody who knows me intimately and cares enough about me, someone who's going to guide me and direct me, somebody who's going to take care of me because I can't take care of myself. People say, well, Brother Brian, that was a nice tie or a nice shirt. And I say, I didn't pick it out, my wife did. So anytime I don't look good, I picked it out, okay? I need her to be my clothing consultant. And some of you are thinking, well, you messed up this morning, son. I need her. God has given her to me as a blessing because I need her, because He knew I couldn't handle it myself. God has said, my son, I'm offering myself to you. And they say, wait a minute, what's this got to do with Romans chapter 8, verse number 1? I'm glad you asked that question. Now look it with me at Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. Let's look how it marries together. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. Paul writes, and he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." There's no condemnation if you are in Christ Jesus. In other words, God is your shepherd. God is not condemning you. See, I read in the book of John chapter number 3 this morning that you are condemned if God is not your shepherd. If Jesus Christ is not your shepherd, you are condemned already. You are trying to make it on your own. You're trying to free yourself. You're trying to do all these events and all these things taking place on your own. And God looks at you and He says, condemned. See, because God has to judge sin. God can't let sin get away. God can't ignore sin. God has to deal with sin. He's a God of wrath when it comes to sin. And He looks at us in our natural way, in our own physical situation. He looks at us and all He sees is sin. And He has nothing to do but condemn us. For the wages of sin is what? Death. And that word death is not necessarily talking about a physical death, which we see, but it's talking about a spiritual death, a separation between God and us. So your payment for sin is spiritual death, separation for eternity from God. You are therefore condemned. But then he says in Romans chapter 8, he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." In Psalm 23, he doesn't say, "I am my own shepherd." He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He's my protector. He's my provider. He's the one that takes care of everything for me." Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, he says, "I am not condemned because Jesus Christ is my Savior." See, God's wrath has to go somewhere. Either on the one who is condemned or on Jesus Christ, His Son. Is Jesus your shepherd? If right now you had to stand before God and you had to give an account, which we all will one day, and you had to stand before God and you had to give an account for all of your sins, would God look at you and say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you"? Would He say, "Condemned, depart from me. You tried it on yourself. I offered, but you didn't want it. Go." Or would you say, "I stand before you, God, but I don't stand in my own stead. Jesus Christ paid my sin debt." The wages of sin is death. But I'm glad that verse doesn't end there. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through our own efforts. Is that what it says? What does it say? Come on, help me out, Bible scholars. The gift of God is eternal life through what? Jesus Christ our Lord. So now, when I stand before God, He doesn't say condemned. He says, "Come on in, child. Your debt's been paid. I've been your shepherd since you were 21 years old." Think about that for a minute. A loose sheep will get into trouble and will die. But a sheep that is protected by the shepherd, that shepherd will give his life for that sheep. My Jesus, my shepherd, gave his life for me. He didn't have to, but he did it because he loved me so much. Amen? Now go back to Psalm 23 real quick. "The Lord is my shepherd, He is the one that takes care of me. He's the one that meets my needs. The second part of verse number one says, I shall not want. You know what that means? It means, in other words, I'm not going to be worried. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to lose hope. Why? Why isn't David losing hope? Because God's his shepherd. God's the one taking care of him. David can go to sleep in the middle of that big old flock and not have to worry about the wolves and not have to worry about the bad things of life to come. God is his shepherd, his protector. A lot of questions are asked. Well, where was God when that shooter went into that high school? Didn't God care? See, God did not say he's going to keep us safe from all harm. How many of you have had harm come to you since you've been saved? We all have. So God never promised to keep harm from us. Because if that was the case, then the whole New Testament is phony. Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, he got beat up and whipped and stoned and killed, and he came back to life. Paul went through it. You would think if anybody would be okay, it'd been Paul. But no, Paul went through it, even as Jesus was his Savior. So God doesn't say, I'm going to keep you from harm. God does say, I will always be with you. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. I'm not going to worry about today. I don't have to worry and be brokenhearted. Guess what? Because God's my shepherd, and he is with me. He's not going to kick me out of his flock. He's not going to get me by the scruff of my neck and do this. Boom. Ow. He's not going to do that. I'm his child. And he tells me, I'll be with you. See, because later on in the psalm, as we get there, we're going to see that bad things do happen. Death happens. Sickness happens. Broken hearts. Abuse. Those things happen. But God says, I'm your shepherd. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm your shepherd. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now look at Romans chapter 8 real quick one more time. Here's the reason. Verse number 2 goes right along with this verse. Why? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, look at this, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Jesus has set me free. Hallelujah. Somebody wave a hanky. I don't have to go to hell. I've been made free by Jesus, not by my own efforts. That's where the I do not want comes in. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not worry. Why? Because I'm free in Jesus Christ. That means if my heart stopped beating today, see, my brain checked out a long time ago, but if my heart stopped beating today, I know instantly I'd be in the presence of God because of what Jesus Christ has done. I don't have to worry about it. What about you? Is the Lord your shepherd? I'm not asking you if you said a little prayer, and I'm not asking you did you come to church, and I'm not asking you did you fill out a little card. I'm not asking you did you get baptized. I'm asking you, have you placed your personal faith, repented of your sins, of saving yourself, and saying, God Almighty, please, I need Jesus to be my Savior, and meant it? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord and try their best shall be saved. Is that what it says? No. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God shall be your shepherd forever and ever. Amen. All right, Psalm 23, verse number 2 tonight. It's already 12 o'clock. Y'all done took too long getting ready. God is so good. Now, I'm not downplaying the hurt. Some of you are going through such agony right now. I don't know your hurts. But let me tell you this. Please, look at me. God knows and He cares. He's not abandoned you. He says, my child, I love you. Come to me. With three kids, it happens quite a bit. But we hear this at night sometimes. Mommy! Why don't they call Dad? Exactly. Daddy! What do? Go back to bed. Sometimes. But oftentimes is, what is it, honey? Mommy's here. Daddy's here. Daddy. What do? You're my shepherd. I'm hurting. You know what he does? I'm here, my child. And I've been there the whole time. God is our shepherd. Is He yours? I hope so. I hope so. Let's stand together this morning. Oh, I've got so much in this study that God's given to me. It's wonderful. God's Word is so full. I want you to come back tonight so we can continue to look at this. God's Word. Not my learning. It's His Word. Heavenly Father, You know our hearts today. I can't even pretend to understand what everybody's going through, but You know. I know there are broken hearts in this very room right now. I know that there's people who are scared. I know that there's people who are having problems either in their marriage or with their children. I know, God, that there's people who are struggling with sin. And they need You. God, may we drop our stubborn, stinking pride and say, oh God, help me. You've promised to meet our needs according to Your will. May we be willing to surrender and do Your will. Maybe there's someone in this very room that doesn't know Your Son, Jesus, as their Savior. May today they drop their pride and come forward and let us show them from the Bible how they can know. You're our only hope. You're our only strength. In Christ's name I ask these things. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Brother Dan's going to begin to sing. I invite you to come right now. Just come on down. I'll pray with you if you want me to. If not, you can pray by yourself. But come on down. Do what God has called you to do today.